Okay, well today we're going to be doing our standard, some of our standard components, which is the action item review and status of verifiable claims creation. Wanted to highlight that there's no meeting on the 28th because all three chairs are unavailable, and 28th of March. And then we're going to review the conferences or events that some of us attended at IMS Badge and the Parchment Summits, IMS Badge Summit and the Parchment Summit, which was in D.C. And renewing Web of Trust, demo status, we're going to talk about that. And then we have a number of pull requests that Matt and I reviewed on Friday on our chairs call and want to know whether how we could prioritize those, and that's what that agenda item is about. We have a link to that there. And as I said, the action item review, and then we'll take suggestions for next week. So that's our agenda for today. Anything to be changed or added to that for discussion today if we have time?
Hey, Richard, the agenda is not showing up on the credentials community group mailing list. Where is the link to the agenda?
It was sent to the W3C credentials group community group. It was sent out on Friday at 1:42 by Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just noticed that too, man. That it's not on the website.
Yeah, let me. I'll dig around for it. We need to get it in the minutes. I'll deal with it. Keep going.
Okay. So no introductions. Last chance. Ongoing. Yeah. Okay. You're standing it in.
Richard, I just dropped the agenda into IRC for reference for now.
Great.
Ryan is doing that.
Great. Thank you. Item one then, the status of verifiable claims working group creation. Does anybody have any news on that particular topic?
Yes. The chair should have been notified that there is a new charter out. Did you guys not get any messages on that?
Nothing I noticed.
Okay.
The only thing I saw was that Dave was traveling.
So there is a new charter. So W3C, we have to be careful about what we share publicly, but W3C management has put out a new charter for review with modifications and a response to all of the formal objections. I unfortunately do not have that link on me, but it went out to a member review mailing list. Hold on one second. Let me get this because this is important. Revised charter is here. Request for comments is open. The link that I'm going to put in here, people that are not W3C members, you're not going to be able to see it because it's member confidential. It's a really great read. So for those of you that are members, please be sure to read it and say whether or not you agree with the updates to the charter and things of that nature. So Wendy Seltzer, Dave Raggett and Liam Quinn from W3C staff put that out. Dave Raggett's taking the lead on responding to criticisms, and he's done a very good and fair job of responding to those criticisms and updating the charter to follow suit. So I don't remember if there's a closing date on the updated charter, but they usually only do this when they feel they've addressed all of the feedback. So that's it. I mean, it's good news and progress from last time.
Okay. Matt, you're on the queue.
Thank you. Is Dave Raggett going to be our new staff contact, do you know?
No idea. It's not dealt with, and I'm a bit concerned that you guys aren't being pulled in on these conversations. The other thing is, like, I don't know if you guys are on the advisory committee mailing list. Your advisory committee rep for Pearson and ETS should have pinged you because the charter review came, you know, went out of the advisory committee. So you're going to want to talk to your advisory committee reps and ask them why they didn't give you a heads up on that. You should have gotten two pings on this, one from your AC rep, and then another from W3C staff.
And I'll send one that things. Now.
Anyway, there's the link. Matt, Richard, yeah. It's really important that you guys read through that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the group probably needs to formulate a response to that in the next week.
Okay. I'll ask my guy to get that to me. So in the next week, and then no one else can see it. Is that correct, Manu, besides members?
Only W3C members can see it.
Okay. All right. Well, I've sent my rep a message, so we'll see if he's got it. All right. On anything else on that topic, then? Okay. Let's move on to the next item, then. We have just to remind you all, if for those of you who joined a little later, we're not going to have a meeting on the 28th of March, 3/28, because none of the chairs are available that day. For that, I'm going to either various at a conference or traveling, so no meeting that day, and we'll remind you that the week before as well. So, who among us then has attended the? We'll start still in order. The IMS Badge Summit, and is there anything to be shared from that meeting that's relevant to our group?
Did anyone go to the IMS Badge Summit?
Apparently not.
I'm pretty sure Nate went, but I don't think he's on the phone today.
I know someone from my company went, but I haven't had a chance to talk to him about it yet. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Nate was there. I saw a little email flow back and forth from him last week. All right.
All right, well, let's move on to the Parchment Summit. Anybody besides me attend the Parchment Summit who had any reaction to the things that were discussed and reviewed there? So nobody but me. Well, it was well attended. It was, at least from the DC perspective, it was most of the people that I know have been active and involved with credentials. Came to the event. Parchment's the second year they've sponsored this to discuss credentials. It was primarily focused around, you know, around education credentials. And, you know, I guess the primary takeaway is there's a lot of people seriously working on trying to expand the use of credentials in meaningful ways in a number of different aspects of education. And so it was just reinforcing of our work and why it would be useful. They did kind of point to the overlapping need between what IMS is doing and its standards and what we're trying to do. And I got a little bit of encouragement to make sure they're somehow coordinated. So at some point, we'll want to sort of just see to what degree any other standards that are emerging or proposals that are emerging are in any way compatible with or in any way in conflict with each other. So that was my takeaway. Manu?
Yeah, just to ask if you got a contact. So, you know, did you talk with Stuart Sutton while you were there?
Actually, it was a committee member that I talked to. I have a card, but not in front of me,
okay.
Who was from one of the companies that's a member of the group, the IMS Global Working Group, or a member that's active in it. I can't think of her name in her company right now, but
okay.
I'll dig that up.
Okay,
know.
Just so we know who our point of contact is. Like, I mean, Nate has been making sure that we're aligned with them, and as well as Stuart Southern with the Credentials Transparency Initiative. We just
right.
need to make sure, you know, we're doing like at least bi-monthly or every 2 month check-ins with IMS and with CTI to make sure we're not going off the rails, or none of us are going off the rails too much.
Okay, we'll do. I'll dig that up, and it's probably redundant, this person, but we'll find out. Okay. No one else attended, then we'll move on to the last chance to speak up now. No one else on the queue? All right. I'm just put that in. All right, no one else on the queue. Okay, so the next item for review then would be the Reviewing Web of Trust demo status. Manu and Joe and others, you guys were working on kind of deciding what this was going to be. Is there any need to, you want to give us a report on that, or was there a need to try to resolve anything on the call today related to that?
A quick update. Unfortunately, Joe and I haven't had time to sit down and talk about it yet, but our organization does have a functioning digital wallet and digital loyalty card thing. We use verifiable claims for the whole stack. We use everything this group has created for the whole stack. So we have production-ready software that we're getting ready to push out, and the expectation was that we'd use that software to achieve the United Nations refugee use case that Joe was talking about. So effectively, what we have to do for the demo is to design a United Nations card. And Joe, we're probably going to have to ping people like John Edge at the United Nations to make sure that we don't want to use UN's name in any bad way. We want to get their blessing before we do this. So we're going to have some conversations with folks like John Edge and Christopher Allen to do that. But the short of it is, you know, we have things that we can demo, and we're going to be putting together videos of the verifiable claim systems that we have, these digital wallets and checking systems that we have. We're going to put those together in the next couple of weeks and send them out to the group. And then at some point, you know, maybe the group wants to look at this entire system functioning, you know, the system that we're building pieces of here, the whole thing as it fits together, it's functioning, and then maybe focusing on specific use cases like Adrian Gropper's healthcare use case or the United Nations refugee use case, and getting those just implemented and deployed so that we can get some testing behind the spec, implementation and deployment behind the spec. So that's the short update. We have a testing demonstration platform now. Next step is to work with Joe to see what he thinks the best kind of demo of this system would be.
Okay, we have a queue. Christopher, you're on next. Christopher A.
You might be muted.
Sorry. Might be muted. Is right. There you go.
Basically, I just wanted to give a quick heads up on where I'm at with that. I've been working on the Bitcoin DID implementation. Right now, it's pretty primitive and using shell commands and such. But it you know, looks pretty good. I'd be very interested in tracking what's going on with the these examples that you're working on with your wallet, which sort of again, you know, raises up the need externally to this group to talk about you know, signature algorithms and you know, DIDs and things of that nature. So I'm, you know, clearly we'll be talking about it at Rebooting Web of Trust on April 19th in Paris. But if there's, you know, people that are wanting to talk before then about some of these supporting structures for verifiable claims, Before then, I'd be glad to schedule a call or do, get somebody up to date if they're wondering what's going on and what the different parts are.
So maybe you, Joe, and I should schedule something this week to look at it. Are you guys traveling? Do you have time this week?
I'm surprisingly open for the next 3 weeks. So.
Awesome.
All right, Joe? We'll let you guys schedule that. Joe's on the queue. Joe?
I am available, Matt, so let's schedule something. I just wanted to add, I did speak with my co-author on the URM 1.0 paper, and we're both keen on putting something together. We had some ideas we bounced around. And I think most exciting for us was going through that exercise added three phases that we need to flesh out to the information engagement model. So when we started thinking about how the rubber might meet the road, it shifted some of the things and opened some blind spots that we hadn't been considering. So that was cool. So let's get a phone call scheduled, and we can see what makes sense to try and get done basically in the next month and a half.
Awesome. Good.
Anything else on that topic? If not, we're going to move on to prioritizing the pull requests. So let's take a look at the link that's in the agenda there on the GitHub polls. I'm opening mine here. It's taking a second. And Matt and I were discussing that, of course, the purpose of this is to identify, which ones we need to work on next. We're trying to focus our work on the calls and the things that are in need of discussion or analysis or pairing people together to do the work. So of those that have been identified, there's these five, three closed, five open. And of those five, there seems to be strong activity around two of them. So we're trying to figure out both kind of a methodology and then apply that to say, well, which ones of these, if any, need our focus to get resolved. So Matt, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think last week we talked about kind of the life cycle of a pull request. Excuse me. those that have been out there for, over a week are probably ones that we should kind of put a little pressure on and make sure that they're getting the activity that they need to have to be closed and merged or have the right disposition. And there are a couple here that are older and are still getting a lot of activity. And we noticed that not all of them had assignees signed and reviewers active on them. So that's where we're kind of wrapping back around to make sure we get these disposed.
Manu, you're on the queue.
Yeah, just to really quickly point out that there have been two PRs that I processed as an editor. This one was processed this morning, 39, and then this one was processed last week. So that was, we waited a week, we got a reviewer to submit their comments, applied the reviewer's comments, and then since we didn't get any other feedback from the others that were tagged on the issue, we pulled the PR in. We want to make sure that these things aren't languishing out there too long, especially when they're basically tied up and waiting for somebody to object on it. And these are two cases where, while not every reviewer that we tagged responded, we just merged it in anyway because it had been out there for long enough and it wasn't really a controversial thing. So that was kind of an editorial call. So for the pull requests that were pulled in, if people now that they've seen, like we pull that into the spec, if they object to it, raise an issue, say you object to the text, say specifically what part of the text you object to, and then we'll, work on another PR to fix those objections. The reason we're a bit aggressive about pull requests is that we want the spec to start changing, and we don't want to delay, the time it takes to get spec text in there. So with that said, the two PRs that I could see that we could merge in that didn't have any strong objections and didn't really have and we addressed all the comments from the reviewer, we went ahead and pulled those in. Okay, so that brings us to the ones with active discussion. There are two, number 37 and 38. Joe, Andrew, I think I wasn't clear last week. Like, you know, I said this is a great, you know, fantastic pull request, but there are a slew of comments on your pull request. So, Joe, take a look here.
Is this 38 or the other one?
Yeah, I'm sorry, 37. So we're 37. Looking at 37, and if you look through there, you know, I've made a number of comments, either, you know, wondering if the right language was used or wondering your thoughts on it, Joe. And so the expectation is that you go through and you respond to each one of those things, right? There's a below every single comment, there's a reply button or reply text area. And so, Joe, you need to go through and click on every single one of those, read the comment, and then respond. And then when you respond, you say whether or not you've made a change based on the comment, or like, you don't think a change is necessary because of the comment. And then once you go through and do that and you've updated the pull request, at that point, if nobody else has any other comments, we'll pull it in. Did that make sense, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. It was unclear that was quite what I should do, but it makes sense. And I saw your comment, and I'll go do that.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah, and to be fair, we didn't say anything about it last week, and I was just getting ready to pull it in this morning when I saw that there were a bunch of comments on it that needed to be resolved, so we couldn't pull it in without those comments being addressed. The other one is PR 38, and I've tagged Adam Migas and Joe Andrew on that for feedback. Dave Longley's already provided his feedback. We've updated the spec, but it would be good to have either Adam or Joe take a look at that one, or frankly anyone else that has comments on it.
I'm confused. Is that closed or?
It's not. No, it's an open. 38's open.
38's
so,
open, yeah.
Yeah, so here's we need reviewers on 38.
So, you know, we'll continue. Our idea was that we would continue to look to these and just bring up the ones that seem to have activity and that have not yet, you know, closed. Hey, Manu, I'm just going to divert for a second. My rep says nothing has been sent out, and he's on a W3C WCAG call right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he did not receive a new charter.
It went to the AC forum. He probably missed the email. Yeah, Wendy Seltzer sent it out.
He just searched through the AC forum, and he said he didn't find squat.
Proposed
resolution. Yeah, I was going to. I'm an AC, and it didn't pop up. Do you know what the subject headline was?
Yeah, proposed resolution of objections to verifiable claims charter, discussion of member charters review. So it's just look for verifiable claims charter. Emails from Wendy sent out March 3rd, 4 days ago. I'll get the link for you guys.
Okay, I am seeing it.
Okay, so if you search with that specific phrase, you can find it.
Here's the link.
All right, I'll paste it in. Sorry, I just want to make sure we weren't, he was on the call. If it was.
Charter.
Yeah, it's just a link to another link to another thing. I can see why I passed it. It's like, you know, two lines and a link. So,
yeah, it's
okay. Thanks for resolving that. Sorry to jump off the agenda.
No problem.
But I'm glad I did, because I think other people would have a problem finding it too. Okay. Back to our anything else on the pull request process that we're discussing. Okay, let's move back to the agenda then. So action item review, the link's at the bottom there. Please pull that up. And we have one, two, three, four, five items on here. Does anybody have anything, just to start off, anything to report regarding any of these open items on the action list?
It's AMO, I guess. I just report, I just sent, right before the meeting started, the NIST PRAM privacy risk evaluate assessment methodology worksheets out to the list. I apologize for the delay. I had copies in January, and I just wanted to circle back with the NIST folks to see if they released later copies later as they said they would. So anyway, the latest are now available on the mailing list. So if we want to discuss it there, we can. If we want to discuss it here, it's up to you. That's fine too. But there they are.
We probably should put the link to that on our wiki at some point too, if people want to take a look at it, or at least someplace we can find it as a reference point. People that aren't on the mailing list or others. You sent that out to to which mailing list? To the.
I sent that out to the public, to the consciousness. Should I send it to another list?
I don't know. What day did you send it? I was just wondering if I got it. You sent it just today, you said?
Can you guys hear me?
Was that you? Did you say you sent it today? This morning?
Yeah, 30 minutes ago. I just it just hit my inbox about a half an hour ago. Right before the meeting started. Nice job.
Okay, great. All right.
These are the PRAM worksheets, Adam.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just had a headset failure and I missed the last 20 seconds of what people said. And I don't know what you might have missed what I said. The last thing I said was that that's the latest. They've been sent out to the list. They've been sent out to the public credentials, W3C list. And I was actually wondering, is there a different place I should send them? But that's where they are right now.
That's a good place for them right now, I think.
Yeah. All right, great.
We should,
perfect.
Yeah, we
okay.
should be coordinating on the community, the credentials mailing list.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if there's another way I should make them available, just let me know. They do, unfortunately, they zip right now because NIST had, they're promising to release them on their, you know, as part of the content on their site at some point, but they have yet to do it. So these are just copies I've gotten directly from them. I had to have them around the zip, so I apologize.
Okay. Well, that does address that action item, so thank you. Any other ones on, so I guess we can take that one off as closed then, right? Or, because it said pending, should we change that status to close on that one?
Sure.
Yeah. Any other reports of action on any of the other things that were on the list here?
Yeah, I've got I was supposed to make sure that all the privacy sections were assigned to people. I've done that. If you look at the issues, let me get a link. So here are the issues. Here are the privacy issues. So the anything that's tagged with privacy has an assignee, and I've tried to balance this across the entire group. Each person that's assigned has no more than two items. If folks are not assigned and you'd like to have an item assigned to you, we can always take an item away from someone and give it to you. So if you want to do some work on the privacy section, write a paragraph or two, please speak up now or send me an email or text later on. So that's done.
Great. We'll mark that one as closed then. Any other ones, Manna? You had one other one while you're on the speaking circuit here. You had one other one there.
Failed miserably on making any progress on that one.
Okay. Anybody else have any progress report as opposed to mea culpas? If not, I'll go back here to the agenda.
I'm on the
so,
team, Richard.
Oh, you are. Sorry. Go ahead. I'll acknowledge
Sorry.
You. Go ahead, Matt.
This is about Adam's NIST privacy risk templates. I think the reason we were putting that out in the wild was to get it into Joe's hands. Is there a follow-on topic from Joe and the kind of the use case group about using these privacy risk templates in this context, or you know, what do we do with these now that we have them?
Yeah, it's a good question. This is Joe. So I'll take an action item to respond to that. I mean, I need to open up and look at them, but I think my hope was that we could use it to push forward Adrian Gropper's use case. So I think we can hand the baton to me on that and create an action item to take a look at those templates.
And Joe, do you think that would turn into a new open issue in the use case repo for discussion or something like that?
Either a new open issue or continuing on the one that currently has the prescription use case discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, if I could add a couple of things here at this point, at St. Marcus, I would say, so I mentioned in the email that the sheets are essentially a workflow for the NIST 8062 document. In other words, they allow you to really walk through the process. They are geared towards a solution, so it, you know, sort of a technology solution as opposed to a use case. So it's going to be sort of an exercise to adapt them a little bit. But I think that should go okay. What I would suggest, based on my previous experience working with them, is that. You know, you just like Joe should take a look, try to understand them. If it's obvious how to start filling them up, then that's good. If you could also book an offline meeting with me, I could talk through it with you to help you understand it. And then eventually, when we get something reasonably complete. Or we have enough sort of to say or ask of the experts, then I can get us connected with the NIST folks who wrote that thing, and we can talk with them about it if that's needed.
Okay, that sounds good. So let me take a look at that, and I will either get back to you, Adam, or get something in the GitHub in terms of response.
So really, it's for everybody's use as they're working through each of the components of the model or the standard we're working on. So everybody, I assume, the man who's assigned to a privacy component would be reviewing them and using them and looking at their particular aspect.
No.
No. Yes.
No. I don't think that's the purpose of the NIST worksheet. You know, it's a pretty heavy tool, the NIST worksheet. It's a pretty heavy tool. It's not lightweight. Whereas the privacy sections are really meant to be like two or three paragraphs, fairly lightweight. It is true that anyone that's doing a privacy section should probably be aware of the content of the NIST worksheet, but I don't think that there's any expectation that you apply the NIST worksheet when you're writing the 2 to 3 paragraphs for the
staff. Good clarification. Joe, go ahead. You're on the queue.
That was almost exactly what I was going to say, and that I think we – you know, we're going to need to look at one or two or three use cases or situations deeply, but, you know, it's not going to make sense for us to apply this kind of tool to everything that we need to talk about. So.
Okay. Is it Adam?
Yeah.
Is that who that is? No.
Yep.
Yeah.
Adam is MLIS. I'm trying to go by MLIS because I'm remembering there's another Adam here. Yeah, I think what Manu said, maybe build on that. So there's materials inside of the worksheets that are very useful to help you think through. So I agree with Manu's assessment that they are heavy, sort of heavyweight. It takes a while to do, and again, it's really built for assessing an entire solution. So what we could argue that when we get a solution built from a set of use cases, that might be a place where we could sort of fully apply the thing. There's stuff inside of it, like, for example, there's a catalog of harms and things that if you read through it and understand it, will help you shape, you know, the privacy language in existing use cases or privacy around all the things that we want to do with privacy could, you know, you could benefit from reading those sheets. So I would suggest that anybody who wants to do anything around privacy should just look at the sheets and the material and the other, that sheet in particular, the catalog, just sort of take in as input and to think about when you do what you do with the privacy work you have.
Thank you for those clarifications. It's very helpful. I don't see anyone else on the queue. And that's right. So any other comments on any other action item or anything else to add? Otherwise, we'll move on to the agenda for next week, looking for topics. I think that's the last thing we have on our agenda. Too many screens open. Yeah, suggestions for next week's agenda. Anyone have any suggestions for next week's agenda? The floor is open, or you can type some suggestions in.
So, sorry, let me unmute you.
I'll acknowledge you.
it's gonna, we're gonna start running out of things to talk about if people don't start writing stuff for the spec. So I think the primary driver for topics for next week is going to be whether or not people get stuff written for those privacy sections. There's no other way to say it. If people don't start writing stuff, there's going to be nothing for us to really talk about. That'll end up, you know, impacting the spec. The other thing I wanted to point to was an issue, you know, Christopher, if those of you missed it, Christopher Allen was talking about trying to move the Web of Trust use cases forward with some solid examples. That's probably a good discussion topic. So that's one. The other one here is a new issue that I raised on a do not correlate flag for the data model. And the concept behind that is, you know, what we've been doing a lot of this privacy analysis, and what we're basically telling people is, you know, look, the technology can be used for anti-correlation purposes and correlation purposes as well. There are a lot of complexities here. In many cases, your data, if you have anything that's other than an age over 21 credential, you're going to be able to be correlated in multiple ways. So there's a question on whether or not we should add a do not correlate flag, just make it a part of the data model. It has no legal basis right now, today, but Europe is potentially passing legislation in the next 10 years that will give it some teeth. If people remember, you know, there was this concept of a do not track flag, which is pretty much a failure. Actually, I shouldn't say that. There's data showing that it's not having the intended consequences that people wanted it to. Do not correlate might be the same thing, but may be supported by legislation in the future. Anyway, it's just a, you know, as far as the discussion topic, there's a question on whether or not we should think about things like do not correlate flags when you send information like driver's licenses over to a website.
And just to clarify, you're asking for that as a discussion topic for next week? Or as something to be put into, all right, we'll put that on the list. I have my own opinions about that. Won't share now. Joe, you're next on cue.
Yes, so this is more logistics, and maybe you covered it because I was a few minutes late. So I think I used to be getting the agenda as a special CC, and I went and joined the group and the list, or at least I thought I did right, but I don't think I've been getting the agenda for the last 2 weeks. So I don't know if I'm on the wrong list or went out or didn't go out this week, or I think
well,
last
it's sent
week
to the W3C
had a different
credentials.
Name.
Yeah, it's sent to the W3C credentials group is what it goes to.
Okay. Is that the same one that Adam sent the
I don't
cram
think so.
To?
Because I didn't get the Adam thing, but I do get the agenda.
Okay, so I think that's the disconnect. So he sent that to the public credentials at W3, publiccredentials.w3.org, and which is the one that the agenda goes to?
It should be the same one. But it
should be? Oh, well.
It's the same. There is a bit of confusion over this, partially because there are like four different groups asking for different things to happen. The Web Payments IG staff contact has asked us not to send our agenda to the Web Payments IG mailing list anymore. He's basically saying, you guys have a healthy group. You guys go and do your thing over there. You will report back into the Web Payments IG from time to time, but there's no reason to keep us up to date on your minutes and discussions and all that kind of stuff. You're effectively a separate group. So all of our communication now should be going to public credentials, the credential CG mailing list. So let me link everyone to that here. So this is the mailing list. All emails should now be going to public credentials at w3.org, right? So that's where Adam sent the pram worksheet, which is good.
Okay.
For whatever reason, the agenda didn't make it there, maybe because it's stuck in some kind of moderation queue. So when the W3C staff get around to it, they'll get it unstuck, and you'll see the agenda show up after we've had the call. So Joe, you might not be getting the emails because you may not have been officially joined to the group. Let me check it. You didn't see the agenda this week, Joe, because it didn't hit the mailing list. But if you saw the PRAM worksheet, then you should get the next agenda that goes out.
And
okay, perfect.
Why are we in a moderated queue? Let's talk about that later.
No, it's whoever sent the email. You sent it from an email address that W3C doesn't have on record for whatever reason. It's not an officially associated email address, and you, when you do that, you get put into a queue.
So
we should probably get the chairs
that
on. Yeah.
It came from me and my Pearson account.
I've had the same problem when I've sent it from my ETS account. I've gotten that ping back saying, you're not officially on this list, so we'll wait and see.
It's your W3C account. Each one of you has to go into your W3C account and add that email address. So you probably registered using a different email address. Maybe.
I'll work on that.
Remember, the W3C mailing system is like a 25-year-old ball of duct tape. So
understood.
Who knows why.
Okay. All right, Adam, you're on the queue.
I just add to that conversation, but just for clarification, when I sent the email, I sent it from the email address that I had signed up to the list for, so I did not get that roadblock. I do get that roadblock in other mailing lists when I do that, so I'm familiar with that one. I got a new roadblock, though, that folks might be hitting, I don't know, asks if you're okay with having your email content archived, and so I had to actually click a link and go to a form and say, yes, I agree to allow it to be archived. And then after I did that, I saw it pop into the mailing list like less than a minute later. So that was my experience, just for what it's worth.
Okay. Manu, you're on the queue?
No, it was just to mention that. So done.
Okay. Matt, you're on the queue?
I can't remember what I was going to say, so
I think you wanted to get it fixed, and
we have to go fix it
with our rep.
I sent to the same email address that Adam did, so for the minutes. Thanks for the update, Manu. I'll go dig around with W3C and make sure I have all the email addresses I use registered.
Okay. Any other agenda items for next week? We'll add I think what we had was two suggestions. The one on the do not correlate flag and the rebooting web of trust. demo, right? It's running back up in the list to find where that was suggested. Yeah, I think we had a request for that. Christopher, acknowledge you. Thank you.
Yes, so I just want to be clear. So Rebooting Web of Trust is a conference, which everybody here is certainly welcome to attend, especially if you're already in Europe in April, say, for the IEEE S&P conference or something of that nature. So that's A. B, there are two sort of discussions. There is the Web of Trust use case, which is issue 32 in the data model repository, which is a which I guess should be moved. Like, you can't really move an issue, can you? I guess it should be. I think it was started before we split off the other model, the other repo. But basically, it is a specific use of verifiable claims, and it and the focus on that is the data format. Like, you know, here's the different you know, parts. Here's the different some examples of some simple claims. You know, here's the, you know, where we're trying to not correlate or where we're being careful, et cetera. And then the completely independent from that is the implementation side of it, which is sort of outside the immediate scope of this group, which includes, you know, I've got a half-assed Bitcoin version. I suspect that Dave and Manu have a different and probably further along kind of wallet and clients for things. But that's more of an implementation-oriented things, and it has a lot of issues having to do with, you know, sort of the intersection of DIDs and verifiable claims. So that's sort of three different items, and it's really the middle one, which is the you know, that is the item that I'm suggesting for next week, which is go over some of the examples and decisions and choices for a Web of Truth use case. Done.
Thanks for that clarification. So use case examples for Web of Trust use case. So we'll clarify that. It wasn't exactly what I said, but we'll put that in that way for next time. Any other items for next week? Let's see. Manu, you're on the queue, I think.
Just to address something Christopher said. So to be specific, Christopher, we have near production-ready stuff. Hopefully we're going into production in the next month or two for DIDs. It's going to be our DID. You know, we have a different DID format right now until the other DID formats kind of get booted up a bit more. So we have this demo that we're talking about already uses DIDs, so everything's decentralized ID. It uses verifiable claims everywhere, and it uses a protocol to move these verifiable claims around using DIDs and verifiable claims. So, like, this is, you know, everything we've been talking about at Rebooting Web of Trust, and not experimental implementations. We're getting very, very close to production-ready implementations for all of these things. So I think I'm hoping we're further along than we were hoping we'd be at this point. That's just it.
So you're saying it is worthwhile having it on the agenda for next time to get more detail around that or not?
I'm happy to put it on the agenda. We will try to get out some screenshots and everything. And we could potentially even take people through a demo. I don't know if the group wants to do that. The one thing I'm concerned about here is that, you know, this turns into like a we don't want it to turn into, you know, a product demo. We want it to be like a capabilities demo, like here's an example of DIDs working, here's an example of verifiable claim that does X, right? Not, you know, here's my company and this is what our product does. Those tend to go over badly in these kinds of standards groups. So it's finding the right balance there. But we're willing to take a shot at it next week if you guys want.
Okay. Christopher, you're up.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think it's worthwhile to have a couple of quick screenshots and whatever, but I do worry that it, you know, might derail things a little bit if we get into specifics of you know, signatures and, you know, where is the DID come from, and this is what a DDO is, which isn't a verified claim, but may contain verified claims, and all those kinds of questions could derail things. And so I would prefer that the sort of the use case and, you know, concrete sort of data model and, you know, things like what's the data model site that has all the
schema.org.
Yeah, schema.org. Like, what's missing from schema.org that we need to add and things of that nature. So that's where I'd like to focus. And just so people kind of know that it's real, you know, having a few screenshots and things of that nature of various approaches would be great. When we do the real more in-depth demo, I'd also like to make sure that we reach out to, like, Christian Lundquist and, who has been at this meeting before, and a couple of the other people, and sort of make sure that they're around, because they also are working on some stuff in this category.
Yep.
Okay. Joe, you're up next.
Yeah, so I guess maybe this is mostly a question for Chris. I was rereading through this issue 32, and it was actually not quite the issue I thought it was. So I think what was proposed by Manu in terms of the demo for the workshop is a separate set of work than what I think you and I – mostly you have been referring to as a web of trust use case. And I thought part of what you're doing was pointing attention, let's keep that web of trust use case moving forward, which is not the UN UORM 1.0 use case. So I don't know, Chris, could you comment on what
So Joe has been working very valiantly at the rebooting Web of Trust initially last summer, and at the fall workshop, he and others have been, you know, puzzling through a very specific, Web of Trust model that is associated with refugees and, you know, various agencies trying to help those refugees. And that, you know, that's fairly well developed. But then separately from that is sort of just the basic Web of Trust, PGP, what PGP actually offered versus what people thought it offered, and, you know, just replicating that was one of the things that, you know, I'm trying to focus on, because I'm finding a number of sort of niggly details complicated without a lot of knowledge about sort of schemas and JSON-LD structures and getting everything just right. I know with the Bitcoin reference DID, I'm going very, very basic, just trying to reproduce what PGP did. And I would love to have the level of Joe and I started a sort of a larger model of all the things that, you know, that use case can do, and it would be lovely to develop that out to the level that Joram is, but it's a separate topic. That help, Joe? Or if anybody else has some questions on it?
I think to help focus the workshop effort in terms of a demo and to put a button on it, I think the consensus then would be that what we would do would be focused on some limited implementation of UORM as a UN-related demo for Paris, if we could box something up or, you know, put together some sort of representation using what Digital Bazaar's done. That sounds very cool to me.
So let's kick the idea around a bit when you, Christopher, and I talk a bit later next week, and then we can report back to the group with what we came up with. Does that sound good?
Yeah, we're about out of time here, so if there's an invite to Uport, someone else either tell us how to do that.
No, it's the company Christopher was talking about. We should invite them in when we, if and when we talk about this stuff and do a demo. They have a wallet and
I'm just saying, you know, and I'm going to leave inviting them up to you unless you want us to do something.
Okay, no, we'll
That's
do
all,
it.
Just to work on them. Okay. Any other comments or for the good of the order? If not, we'll see you guys in a week. Going. Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Sounds good. Thanks.